When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with me on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to the man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I entered into ministry, it'll be 29 years ago this summer, there was a movement in the church. There's always movements in the church. There's always something new that somebody is trying to express. And this particular movement was called the Ancient Future Movement of the church. It was to take something rather old and wrap it in something new. Like tonight, taking the ancient liturgy of the church and wrapping it in music that is more like today. This ancient future liturgy, well, it has its roots in the Methodist liturgy, which has its roots in the Anglican Church. And when it formed in the 1500s, it had its roots in the Roman Catholic Church. This liturgy has as its earliest roots then from Scripture, from 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26, which may sound familiar to you. These are the words of Paul the Apostle. For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, the cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Of course, Paul, the author of 1 Corinthians, gets his language directly from the apostles, the ones who were there at that meal. And as a side note, what we just read in 1 Corinthians was actually written down about 20 years before the account written by Luke. And though these are Jesus' words, that liturgy has its roots in an even older tradition, the Passover. The Passover is the ritual that most Jews celebrate even today, with the words of that ritual coming only 50 years before Christ. However, the ritual itself goes all the way back to about 1450 BC. It comes from the book of Exodus. It's the story of God delivering the Hebrews' slaves out of Egypt. The Passover, or Seder Supper, some would call it, commemorates this event as commanded in Exodus 12. So our communion meal is as ancient as 1450 BC. However, in celebrating the traditional Passover liturgy, Jesus takes liberty with those words and twists into a new meaning. The bread becomes symbolic of his body. He notes in this prophetic moment that his body will be broken for your sake, an event that will happen only, well, less than 24 hours later. The wine, or in our case, juice, becomes symbolic of the blood that will be shed. And that blood institutes a new covenant. covenants are important in faith. In the book of Exodus, at the time of the Passover, but a little bit later, God promises to Moses to once again be the God of the people of Israel. And then on Mount Sinai, God seals that promise by requiring that the Hebrew people follow the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments being among them, as they live their side of the covenant. Over the next 900 years or so, the people of Israel will vacillate between faithfulness and unfaithful living. Finally, God, through the prophet of Jeremiah in 600 BC, promises a new covenant. And it takes 600 more years for Jesus to effect the new covenant. But the Bible also teaches us that to God, a millennia is but a moment. So in this ancient future practice of the church, we remember that Christ died for us. That his sacrificial shedding of his own blood invites us into a new covenant between God and ourselves. This new relationship with God is not just meant for the time we live on earth, but for all eternity. So in a sense, when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper for the first time, he's blazing a new trail for all future followers of Christ. This ancient future practice welcomes us to consider the trail that we will blaze. As Christians, the Lord's Supper is more than just a traditional practice. If it has become for you just another ritual, I want to caution you, but also invite you to something deeper. The caution comes from theologian Jaroslav Pelikan. You may have heard this before. Tradition is the living faith of the dead. Traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. The invitation is the one I make every week, that it's not me that invites you to this table, it is Jesus himself. As Christians, we know that Christ is always present, always with us. However, as we take the symbols of bread and juice, they become more than just a symbol to us. They become the very presence of Christ that we accept within. At the Lord's Supper, Jesus is never closer to you than any other moment of your life. It is far more than the dead faith you're living. One last thought. As I share the communion bread with you, I will say the words, the body of Christ broken for you, or the other server will say that as they hand you the bread. But on Sundays, when I share it with little children, when they first come down the aisle, and I'll kneel on one knee usually, and I'll offer the child the bread. And I want to make sure that they understand the meaning of what they're doing. And I'll say, this means Jesus loves you. In so doing, I've stepped out of the ancient liturgy to introduce the meaning to a future generation. Isn't that what faith is meant to do? Take what is very ancient but true and share it in a way that holds promise for the future. Amen. And amen.